Glory to God. You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, as we doing life day by day, as we're doing life, we could, in a day, run into something. Something might run into us even. You know, unexpected something, or just life happens, you know, just life happens. And when those things happen, you know, it's good for us to be able to turn to, grab a hold of, have something hidden deep down inside of us that's very simple but powerful. And tonight we have been given this thing that says God takes care of you. And if that's all you walk away with tonight, it's enough. God takes care of you. When? Always. God takes care of you. All right, go with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is actually an extension from Sunday's message. And Sunday we talked about from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. We talked about a few things there. We'll go back to it, but we want to start tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's do 19. We'll start at 19, and then we're going to go to 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. I'm going to read it from the NIV tonight. It says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us being Paul," Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. Let me start over. He said, Church of Corinth, he said, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us," that's by me, Paul, "and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes." Yes. "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Verse 21. "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Yes, glory to God. Oh, I love it. Verse 20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." What that verse is really saying is, no matter how many promises God has in his word for you and I, God has spoken to your heart individually, no matter how many promises they are in Christ, the answer is yes. It's not maybe, it's not sometimes, it's not pondering, perhaps. No, if God said it, the answer is yes. And so therefore, in Christ, we can also say amen, which means for sure, we know it is ours. It is so. Amen. That is our declaration. Amen to the promises of God. Glory to God. Now, on Sunday, Matthew chapter 6, 24 to 34. Sunday we talked about Jesus was talking to a people and therefore talking to us today, reminding us to be careful to make sure, I didn't use this word on Sunday, I'm going to use it today, to make sure that we keep ourselves from idolatry. Pamela, that scripture was 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. And so that was on Sunday. He wanted to make sure that we were prepared to keep ourselves from idolatry. Yet he said it this way, you cannot serve two masters. For you either hate one and love the other, or else you will hold to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, mammon, as we said on Sunday, mammon was the name of the god of money for the Greeks. That was the name. Money's god name was mammon. Keep in mind also in this time period, as I mentioned on Sunday, the Greeks were transforming all of the regions of which they owned into a Greek culture. Let us remember that the Greeks believed in polytheism, and what that means is they had more than one god. So it was permissible in their religious practices. Actually, it was more than permissible. It was understood that in their religious practices, you would have many gods. And each one of those gods had a name. And each one of those gods would cover a certain aspect of life. Jesus is speaking specifically to the Jews who have one god, that this god of mammon that is permissible for the Greeks is not permissible for you. Therefore, Jesus says, in order to keep yourself from trying to serve more than one god, the only true god, what we need you to do, number one, was what? Take no thought for your life. This is a review. He said, take no thought for your life. In other words, don't worry about your life. God already knows what you need. So take no thought for your life was number one thing that we took away from Sunday's message to help us recognize that we too have only one God. And he takes care of us. Oh, God takes care of us. And remember, if you remember on Sunday, we saw how Matthew 6, the following scriptures, Jesus was pointing to all of the evidence that God takes care of his own. And he says, look at the birds. They don't even work. What do they do? Of what value can they be to God? But yet and still, he feeds them. He said, look at the grass. They're here today. And before you know it, we're throwing it in the oven and they're burned up. Yet and still, God clothes them. See, the evidence that God takes care of his own. And so therefore, if he takes care of the birds, he takes care of the grass, how much more? Because aren't you worth more than they, Jesus asked. God, again, I must say it again. God takes care of you. That was number one. So take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your basic necessities of life. Don't worry about your life. In other words, can I say it like this? God got you. That's just another way of saying God takes care of you. God got you. Matthew 6, 30, 24 through 34 lets us know, once again, take no thought for your life, which we noticed was also saying to us, cease from your own works. Remember Hebrews chapter 4? Cease from your own works. And we acknowledge our weakness. We can't handle life. That's how I can't handle this. And so as we cease from our own works, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, then we recognize that 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 is where we go next. Where, and where is that? We rely, depend completely on the grace of God.
Okay.
That's how the New Testament said it. Rely, depend completely on the grace of God, which is sufficient for you and me. The Apostle Paul, as being inspired by the Holy Spirit, said it that way. But Jesus said this. Matthew 6:33. He said it this way.
Seek
ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these things will simply be added. All the things the Gentiles seek after will be added to you. You don't have to toil for it. You don't have to try to figure it out. Jesus says, what you do, our number two, is make God your first priority. What you do, our number two thing, after we take no thought for our life, our number two thing is this. We go to God first. As a matter of fact, he is our only source. We turn everything over to him. We give him the highest reverence in our life. We give his word authority over our lives. What God said is. And anything that's in opposition to what God said cannot be in our lives. So we seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his way of being and doing. We seek first God's kingdom and his way of being and doing. His righteousness. Hallelujah. That was number two. And we only had two on Sunday, but I have another one for you. I missed it. I didn't see this for Sunday, but now let's take a look at verse 34, Matthew 6:34. I know I'm jumping around. It's okay. Yeah, hopefully you're on your app and you can just toggle back and forth. Matthew 6:34. It says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. That's our number three. So, what are we talking about? We're talking about
Okay,
we're back.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Right. So what was the last thing you heard? Did I get to verse 34 before we just popped off? Matthew 6:34? Is that where I was going? Okay. All right, good. Matthew 6:34. All right, this is our number three. As we are looking in this subject, Jesus says that God takes care of you. That's what he was saying. In all the Matthew chapter 6, he says God takes care of you. And our number one is, therefore, take no thought for your life. And our number two was, seek God first, your highest priority. He has reverence and authority over our lives for our being and our doing. We seek him first, and he adds everything else. Now, number three, verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. That's number three. Take no thought for the morrow. So what does that mean? Take it one day at a time. That's what Jesus was saying. Take it one day at a time. See, verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take it one day at a time. Now, is Jesus saying don't plan your life? Don't make plans for your finances. Don't make plans of where you're going to school. Is he saying don't plan your life? He didn't say that. He said don't take thought. He said don't worry about tomorrow. What he's saying to us is all the grace you need is in today. So therefore, as we have stepped out in faith on the promises of God, we will make sure that we're paying attention to what we need today to walk out today. We're not going to worry about how what's it going to look like tomorrow. How is this going to end? What's it going to look like over there? How am I going to get from point A to point B? Don't worry about that. Put your focus on today, because God's grace will cover you today. When you get to tomorrow, you'll have grace for tomorrow too. Now, and see, it helps us knowing that as we pay attention to this day and we turn our face to God for this day, and we know he takes care of us this day, and we're not worried about tomorrow, then we can take no thought for our lives. We'll focus on today. We'll focus on today. You know how I believe this is everybody. I know I go through this. You know how you get in a situation and within, oh, I would say 15 minutes time, you already have pulled up, conjured up in your mind how this is going to go. And it's never good. Isn't that right? Like, we don't necessarily get, we know when we're thinking in our minds, or I'm in this situation and it looks like, oh, the car, how I'm going to get to so-and-so, and you know, now I see what's going to happen. I'm going to have to walk. And you know, we all over there trying to figure out what it's going to be like tomorrow. Jesus says, no, if you keep focus on what's in front of you, God has provided for you now. What is your situation right now? Do you have everything you need right now? Don't worry about tomorrow. See, when you get into tomorrow, then here comes worry. But let's focus on now. What about right now? We have three things that Jesus tells us to do continually. That we, as we are living as the justified in Christ, by faith in God, that we will take no thought for our lives. We will rely and depend completely on God and his grace. We will cease from our own works. We will take one day at a time. We will make God our highest priority. Amen. Glory to God. Now go with me here. I want us to recognize and see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Verse 21 says, in the New International Version, now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm, where? In Christ. It is God who makes us stand firm in Christ. So even standing firm in faith, that's God's job. He makes us to stand firm in Christ. And he anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. And he put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Brothers and sisters, here's the gist of all of this. God takes care of you and me, and we cannot lose. God takes care of you and me, and we cannot lose.
Well,
hallelujah. So now, I'm going to end with this. Verse 21 tells us that God anointed us and he set his seal of ownership on us. God owns us. We went over that when we looked at redemption, didn't we? Jesus bought us with his own blood. He purchased us out of the control of sin, out of the mandates of sin, out of the slavery of sin. Jesus bought us and he now owns us. And if Jesus owns us, then I have to remind us that we no longer own ourselves. And so as we also looked at how it is for us to be sure that we are making ourselves a living sacrifice daily, meaning that we are sacrificing our own ideas, our own perspectives, our intellect, we're counting it as nothing. Let's take a look at this ownership again, because watch this. If I and you, if we don't own anything, if I don't own any of my material goods, if my car is not mine, if my house belongs to God, if my money belongs to God, if my kids belong to God, if my assets belong to God, if my education belongs to God, if my gifts and talents belong to God, even my eyesight belongs to God, the air I breathe belongs to God, it all belongs to God. Then watch this. The situations in my life, the outcome of those situations and circumstances, the outcome of where we are right now, the outcome of the promise that he gave, the outcome also does not belong to you and I. So let us relinquish ownership of how this turns out. Are you hearing me? And we're going to go a little step further with that so that we understand this. The outcome. God promised that I am healed. Therefore, according to the word we read tonight, his promises are yes and amen. Therefore, I am healed. Now, I do not own, however, the outcome. What does heal look like? How do I get to healed? I don't own it. He does. But this is what I own. I own the faithfulness of God. And he said, he promised. And then he doubled down and said, his promises are yes and amen. He did. God promised us in this house the abundance, and that it's here now. He did, didn't he? You and I must relinquish the end product, the outcome, what it looks like at the end goal. What is it, and how do we get there? We don't own it. I can't call it. All I know is he said it. And he promised, and I have it. So we do not own the outcome. But what we know is God takes care of me. If we can, now let me put it this way. when we do relinquish control of the outcome, we place the ownership back where it belongs. God owns the end result. He owns what the promise looks like. God owns that. And it, when we relinquish ownership of our idea of it, then we also now can cease from our own works and do not worry. Because he got that. I like that. God got that. He got that. Glory to God. Now, brothers and sisters, all one of my favorites. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Oh, it's one of my favorites. One of my favorites. We have seen in the word again tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, that says to us, no matter how many promises God has made to you, the answer to those promises is yes in Christ. No matter how many promises he has promised to you, the answer to those promises is yes in Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35 says this, now cast not away therefore your confidence. And confidence is another word for faith. Don't throw away your faith. Don't give up on your faith now. Don't set down on your faith now. See, cast not away therefore your confidence, because your faith has great recompense of reward. It does. We know a few things about the end goal. We know some things about the promise and what it looks like. We know it's great, and we know it's a reward. It is a payment for our faith. Recompense of reward. Payment of our faith. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Verse 36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We cannot lose. In Christ, we cannot lose. I'll leave you with this. God takes care of you every day, always. He has taken care of you, and he takes care of you now. Every day, God takes care of you. And it's settled. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.